And we're going to, sound men, work with me. Flip it up there. Praise the Lord. Let's get it going here. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11, 3 through 10, in our mark of the best. There's going to be a mark of the beast. If you don't know what that's about, read Revelation 13 and you'll find out. It is the mark of the enemy. It's the mark of the devil. It's the mark of the end time. It'll be injected in the back of your hand or in your forehead. And so that's how you'll be able to buy and sell. It's already being distributed. It started with our animals. How many of you understand the fact that you can go and get a little chip put under the skin of a dog, cat, snake, rat, kangaroo, whatever you got, and they'll be able to identify it by just scanning it? That was just an introductory to the point that they want to do. They're going to want to do that for us. And at one point or another, it will become what is called the mark of the beast. But we want to bear the mark of the best, so we can bypass the beast and get out of here and be with the best. And the mark of the best is holiness. It's righteousness. And I had someone tell me, I've been around people in your church. I see people and I see what they do, and they're trying to live holy and all of this. And this was years ago. And I think it was the year 94, in fact. And she said, "Hey, preacher, it's 94 now." I'm like, okay. When the word of God says, "I am the Lord thy God and I change not," I don't care what year it is. It's still time to live for God. It's still time to worship the Lord and magnify the name of Jesus. Amen. We cannot acquiesce our message to those that won't endure it and won't receive it just so that they can be appeased and happy. They will never, number one, be appeased. They'll never, ever, number two, be happy. And they'll make everyone else around the same way. Amen. What we've got to do is fall in love with it. Live it and love it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 11, verses 3 through 10. "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Amen. We'll leave that right there for right now. And we'll go further in just a few moments. But tonight, our lesson is lesson two. And lesson two, we're going to talk about lifestyle. It is a God that we serve that doesn't only want to affect the inside, but he also wants to affect the outside. Somebody said that the Lord looks on the inside. That's absolutely true, because he can. But humans can't. And so let's let them see on the outside what Jesus is doing on the inside. Amen. It's a perfect balance in the world of living for God and in the church. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to talk about it here just a little while. Amen. And so we're going to talk about lifestyle. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we love and live, praise and honor. We worship, magnify, and glorify the name of the Lord. And we pray nothing less tonight than your perfect will to be done. And let every heart receive the word. And let it engraft itself into our hearts and our minds and our spirits. In the name of the Lord, somebody shout amen. God bless you. You're seated just now. Amen. So since we're talking about lifestyle, we're going to go right into certain elements that regard the word of the Lord as referring to our lifestyles. The word of God gives clear answers to questions about lifestyle. So let's see what the Bible says about hair. There are people that thought that the Bible didn't say anything about it. But we are here to preach the whole word of God to the whole world. Amen. We don't pick a subject out and harp on it. And we don't preach or teach in meanness. We don't hate anybody. We love everybody. That is a mandate from God. It's not. And in fact, the word of the Lord teaches us, it really doesn't matter how many people you can love. It's how many that hate you that you can love that counts. Praise God. And so what does the Bible say about it? Again, 1 Corinthians 11:3 through 10. But I'd have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. We're going to understand what all this means. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. There are religions that take this to mean hats. I literally preached in a place out of the country not too awful long ago that before I could preach, my wife had to wear a thingy on her head. Praise God. So they went and got her a thingy and put it on her head. I don't know what you call them, praise the Lord. But it wasn't talking about hats. It wasn't talking about scarves. Women don't have to wrap themselves up like Christmas presents, and the only thing you get to see is two eyes. Amen. But it's talking about hair. It's talking about the hair. Amen. Every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. Amen. When you take a hat off, you don't shave it off. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. In other words, if she wants to cut her hair, let her go ahead and shave it. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. In other words, let it grow. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. Now it's talking about a man not looking like a woman. Boy, that's different, isn't it? I got to hurry up and preach this stuff. Because in the near future, I could probably get incarcerated for it. But it's Bible. And there has always been a separation in the Bible. There's two things that I've picked up on in starting to read my Bible through again this year. Amen. And there are two words that you'll see all throughout the scripture. I never picked it up to be so rampant. I've seen it. I've preached it. But I've never seen it in the light that I saw it just today, in fact. Amen. Before we built this building, it was a grass field where you're seated. And I would pray. And there was a trail where I would pray. And I would just walk around. Well, I'm still making that trail. It's only in carpet now. And while I was doing that, it came to me that the Lord talks to us about, number one, He talks to us about sacrifice all of the time. And number two, He talks to us about separation all of the time. He tried His best from the very early stages of the Word of God and creation itself to let His people know that there will be a distinct separation. And because preachers have stopped preaching it, the teachers cannot teach it. And because governments will not allow it, our young people today in this generation have no clue what they are, where they're going, what they want to be. Amen. Even after they're born and they see a boy in the mirror, they don't know if it's going to wind up still being a boy when it's older or not. That's sad. When the Word of God gave us specific lines. Amen. I'll never forget preparing a message in the old church just before service began, and there was a crowd of guys standing outside my door, and they didn't know I could hear their conversation. And their conversation was their hairdo. I had my sermon for that night. Amen. And some of you guys are looking at me like, well, what do you mean? That's exactly what I'm talking about. Amen. Amen. Why do guys want to talk about hairdos? Help me. Not with my hairdo. Amen. I'm just simply saying, amen. That's where we are. The guys want to talk about hairdos. The guys want to talk about the way they're dressed. They want to wear pink socks. Where is he? Amen. They want to, there's no lines. There are no lines. I told you about the doctor that quit his job, quit being a doctor because the baby was born. They brought it into the mother and said, you've had a healthy baby boy. She said, oh no, we're going to let him decide that. And then I told you, I went, I don't want to shoot myself, but it is frustrating to know that in this generation, men don't know if they're men or not. Women don't know if they're women or not. But the Word of God drew lines. And if we're going to live for God, we need to toe the line with a made up mind. Amen. I thought it was just, we just believe in Jesus as our personal Savior and that's it. And then He has to put up with everything we want to do. Well, you better go back to your Bible again because there's more than one scripture in there. Amen. Am I being too tough? Amen. Good. For that is even all at one as if she were shaven. The Bible says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory. Everybody say glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman. Somebody say amen. Come on now, even if you don't mean it. But the woman is of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power. For this cause of the woman, somebody shout power. Say it again. Say it again. For the woman ought to have power on her head because of the angels. Amen. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that the glory lies within a woman's hair. Now you say, why? I don't know why. I'm just delivering the mail. And this is the letter right here. The Word of God. Amen. He chose for there to be glory intertwined with a woman's hair. He chose for a woman's hair to be recognized with the glory of angels. Amen. And so for he said he created a woman for the woman, for the man. And for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Angels dwell where the glory of God is. And when the glory is cut off, so is the protection of the angels because that's where they dwell. Now, I said those same words in another meeting one time, and a lady left thinking that I preached that angels live in their hair. There is a spiritual context to everything that we preach. And if we don't get a spiritual heart, if we don't get a spiritual mind, then we will never comprehend what God is trying to say to the church at both male and female. Amen. It is a deep-seated spiritual thing that is within the heart of men and within the hair of women. Men, you can't duplicate that. I don't care how long you let your hair grow. If a man lets his hair grow long, it is simply because he thinks he's a fox. I'm just telling you. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's no glory to it. There's no spirituality to it. Amen. And there is no anointing to it. But for a woman to have uncut hair, amen, that makes glory. That makes a specific thing with God. That is an ingredient with the angels of God. And there is something that you get from God that men cannot have. And that should be an honor. It should not be a curse. Praise God. And so 1 Corinthians 11, 11 through 16, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God, judging yourselves. In other words, ask yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? And then the Bible says, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory. There's that word again. Glory. It is a glory to her. for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither churches of God. And in other words, there's no argument about it. That's just the way God wants it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't dye our hair because wisdom comes with age. And if we're blessed in that regard, and I do mean blessed in that regard, then the hair will begin to turn, as the Bible says, hoary. And that simply means whitish, grayish white. That's what it means. That's what hoary means. It means grayish white. That's the way the hair will begin to turn. Amen. Now, you may be as wrinkled as a prune. You may be as heavy as they can get, or as light and skinny and bony and scrawny as they can get. But no amount of dyeing your hair any color is going to change the way you look. Except people talking behind your back, simply saying, look what she's doing, look what he's doing, look what they're doing. That, this guy's kind of weird, isn't it? And then when you talk to them, oh man, that looks awesome. Facebook, you look glorious. Because they want to be your friend. You know, there is a friend that will stick closer than a brother. Anybody know his name? There's a Savior. There is no other. There's a King. There's a glorious King, a wonderful King. And when he gives us the Word of God, then that's what we abide by. Amen. It's the Word of God. It is Scripture. It is truth. It's righteousness. It's called holiness before the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And so we see in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 36, where neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. The Lord is telling us not to do it. Just can't do it. Amen. You say, well, they didn't have the makings back then. Well, in the Old Testament, the temple door was made of badger skin dyed red. So they could dye things then. Regardless, I am not here to force feed anybody. And I'm not here to make anybody do anything that they themselves in their hearts and spirits do not want to do. But I am here to give you the Word of God. And if that interests you, if you're interested in the Word of God, then you will obey the Word of God. And I promise you, listen, whatever God takes away from you, He has the ability to replace it with something 1,000 times better. That's where we walk by faith. That's where we trust God. In other words, whatever we give to God, He'll replace it with something much better. Chances are the enemy saw where you were going and gave what you got, what he gave you first. And then God steps in on the scene and wants to make it better. Amen. Because I don't know about all of you. I know about most of you. But some of you are our kids born into the church and born into the family of God. But many of us were not. Amen. We're kind of like Aaron's rod that budded. It budded without any roots. Amen. We're going to do great things for God, even though we don't have any roots in this apostolic world. But we're not going to grow almonds on a rod that buds by a miracle if we try to hang on to the world at the same time. And so when we let loose and let go, turn God loose and let Him do what He wants to do, all things work out for the better for those that love the Lord. Amen. Am I right? What does this passage teach about hair? The teaching of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians clearly shows that women should not cut or trim their hair, and men should not have long hair. How can anyone take on the nature of Christ when they don't obey His word? I like the argument that people say, well, I look at the picture of Jesus, and everyone I've seen, he's got long hair. Well, could I tell you that they couldn't take a picture of Jesus in those days? And that the truth came out about the artist that painted that, in that he wanted to do something totally different because Jesus was so different. He made him with long hair. The teachings of the apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is very clear. Amen. Paul's teaching is very vivid. Clear. Jesus is the head of every man, he said in verse 3. The man is the head of the woman in verse 3. The man who prays or prophesies with his head covered or with long hair dishonoreth his head, which is Christ. The woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered or with cut hair dishonoreth her head, the man. It is a shame for a woman to cut her hair or to shave her head, verse 6. The woman ought to have power on her head. Man, there's something deep right there. She ought to have uncut hair because of the angels. Amen. Did you know the devil was an angel? Did you know that all the demons of hell and earth and all of that that followed him, and they were angels in heaven? Did you know that Satan or the devil was cast out of heaven with a third of the angels because they followed after him? Do you know that? Now, this scripture said because of the angels. That other two-thirds were up there when they saw all those angels cast down. And so, ladies, when the hair is cut, the glory is cast down. There's a lot of things we do for the world. Apostolics have jobs and do things for the world. But there's a lot of things that we ought not to do to the world. Hair is a woman's glory. And the angels have to see the glory of God cast down over and over and over again when a woman's hair is cut. I honestly believe it causes confusion in heaven, and it causes victory on earth with the demons that were cast down. That's the only victory that they can get. The only power, the only authority they can have is when we rebel against God. Amen. And so we need to comprehend and understand. Paul makes an appeal to three supporting witnesses, amen, as a God-anointed writer of Scripture, the Apostle Paul established the case of the testimonies of three witnesses. Consider their testimony. Propriety. Is it comely? In other words, is it proper? And then secondly, he called on nature when he said, doth even nature itself teach you? And then thirdly, the custom of God's church. Amen. It is the word of God, and the scripture is the custom of the church. We have no other custom. Amen. So now let us speak on what does God even care about what I wear? Genesis 3:21, he said unto Adam, also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. In other words, even looks like or associates, that's what that means, with a man. That which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. An abomination is disgusting. And I don't think there's a man in the house that wants to be disgusting. And I don't think there's a woman in the house that wants to be disgusting to God. Praise the Lord. Malachi 3:6 declares, I am the Lord and I change not. He's not changed his mind. Just because it's not coming from clerical directions and it's not coming from pulpits doesn't mean it's not still coming from him. Because he said, I am the Lord and I change not. Revelation 21:27 states, And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination. And so you say, well, I'm just an abomination. I'm just disgusting. That's all. Well, that's not all. Because in Revelation chapter 21, he said, whatsoever worketh abominations cannot come into the kingdom. That's a big deal. Pretty big deal. 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, shamefacedness and sobriety. That's with an open face, not with braided hair. That means braided hair with gold or pearls or costly array. 1 Peter 3:3, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning, plaiting the hair and wearing gold or putting on of apparel. That's not your beauty. I'm telling you, our beauty is found in the mark of the best. It's found in holiness. It's found in our holiness. Not our self-righteousness and holiness. Not our holier-than-thou attitudes and spirits. We're not holy so we can say that our church believes in holiness and yours doesn't. We will say our church believes in holiness and we want yours to as well. But we love holiness simply because God loves holiness. That's all. And if the world doesn't like it, we can't help it. Amen. And then, did I say 1 Peter 3:3, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning? Amen. These scriptures accent three principles to guide a holiness-minded person about what to wear. Amen. Let me give you a couple of principles of modesty. 1 Timothy 2:9 again, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. What is worn should never, ever be publicly revealing. Ever. Amen. Praise God. It blows my mind. Sometimes you see weddings and we provide counseling to the bride and the groom before weddings. Amen. Because I don't want to be standing up here marrying and seeing what he's supposed to be seeing at the honeymoon. It ain't none of my business. And I don't want it to be any of my business. Amen. But the first thing they want to get is stuff that's open, stuff that's low cut, stuff with the back out, and stuff with that you see through. What? Wear lingerie with your husband. I mean, don't let him wear it. There is some response out there. In other words, you know, don't do that before God. Literally, before God. He's the one bringing this thing together. Amen. And so these things don't get done on a street corner. They get done in the church. So bring what should be in the church. Modesty. Holiness before the Lord. Am I okay? Don't make me nervous with your silence. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Brown called this afternoon and said, before I picked up the phone, he was coughing his head off. I said, Brother Brown, I know it's you. I'm covering my ear. I don't want what you got. And I made him laugh, and that made him cough harder. And he finally got it out, and I said, hey, you don't have to say anything. I know you're not coming. I said, but you have got to make me a promise. And I said, I mean it. And, you know, because we may not come back to this subject again for another year or so, whenever. I'll lace it in sermons and things, but I'm talking about specifically speaking on it. It might be another year or so. And Brother Brown's not here, so he's going to miss this whole year of it or whatever. And I said, Brother Brown, you have got to make me a promise. He said, Pastor, I'll make you a promise. I said, good. I said, promise me you won't wear makeup, man. Promise me you won't come into church with earrings and necklaces and stuff like that. I'm not going to tell you what he said. But ask him. Hallelujah. He got silly. But he's going to keep his promise. Would you help me help him keep his promise? Praise God. The principle of modesty. Amen. Women adorn themselves, modest apparel. Amen. What's worn should not be a revelation, but it should be covered. Number two, the principle of moderation. Same scripture, 1 Timothy 2 and 9. Not with braided hair, gold, pearls, or costly array. Amen. 1 Peter 3 and 3, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning, plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on apparel. Amen. And then what is worn should not be too costly, too elaborate. We should live and dress within our means. Now, if your great uncle passed away and left you $14 million, you could probably afford a suit that cost $2,000 or a dress that cost $150 or whatever they cost. I don't know. Amen. But if you can't afford it and it's going to choke your credit card to the point that you're in debt over what you wear, then that's not moderation. It shouldn't be costly. It shouldn't be too elaborate. Amen. And then number three is the principle of distinction. God knew the end time generation would need this. And that's why he said in Deuteronomy 22 and 5, at the very beginning of the word, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. What is worn should be gender related. Amen. It's the word of God. And then the Bible helps us with the subject of makeup. Man, we're going down the road right here tonight, aren't we? Hallelujah. I'm not going to look out there too hard. But what about makeup? 1 Timothy 2 and 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, shamefacedness, that means open face. Give us your real deal. Amen. Don't make them wake up in the morning saying, sing, 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 sing. You don't get the joke, but I'll tell you later on. But the ladies should have a shamefacedness, not ashamed of your face, but an open face. In other words, you get what you look at. God made it; it's good enough for us. Amen. And sobriety, not with braided hair, gold, pearls, or costly array. Paul states that a woman should adorn herself with shamefacedness and sobriety. For a woman to paint her face and to wear makeup violates Paul's teaching because he said we should not try to recreate what God has created. The scripture consistently associates the painting of the face with evil women in the Word of God. It's not calling you evil. I'm not calling anyone evil. I'm just talking about it's when you read about the painting of the face and the markings of the face and things like that, it the Word of God directs us to evil women. You shouldn't undermine the process of aging. You're not going to beat it. Proverbs 6:25, lust not after her beauty, the Bible says, in her heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Now, we've had fun with that in the past, but it don't feel real funny in here tonight for some reason. But, you know, if a woman's going to take you with her eyelids, she's really going to have to do something to them. And so the Word of God steers us away from that. Neither let her take thee with her eyelid. A woman of the world takes a man with her eyelids because they're exaggerated and those eyelids are created for lustful purposes. 2 Kings 9 and 30, when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And then what did she do? She ran and painted her face, tired her head, and looked out at a window. Why don't we, and I ask this every time, why don't we ever have daughters named Jezebel? All she did was paint her face, tie her head, and look like Jezebel. If we wouldn't name our daughters Jezebel, let's not let our daughters look like her. Jeremiah 4:30, when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou closest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting. Mercy, Jeremiah said, you rip your face up with painting it. In vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise you, and they will seek your life. Look at the sins of Israel. Ezekiel 23:40. And furthermore, that you have sent for me to come from far, unto whom a messenger was sent, and lo, they came, for whom thou didst wash thyself. You painted your eyes, you decked yourself with ornaments. Sinful deeds from Israel. And we are the new Israel. We are the people of Almighty God. Amen. Praise God. Here's some reasons why true holiness-minded people always reject unholiness. Amen. God's gift to me was His Spirit. When He baptized us in the Holy Ghost, that was His greatest gift to us. Another one of the greatest gifts, and we can talk about the greatest gifts and we can categorize them, but another great gift was the altar. So number one, He filled me with His Spirit. And as I am led of the Holy Ghost, I can visit another gift He gave me, and that's the altar. So that He can alter everything about me so that I can fit the kingdom of God with His Spirit now that I have. So if I have His Spirit, wouldn't His Spirit want me to take on the nature of Him? That takes an altar. And it takes a process of time. We're not asking anybody to be an overnight sensation. I'm just preaching you the truth so you at least know it. And then you can act accordingly. Amen. And so my gift to Him, since He gave me the gift of His Spirit, my gift to Him is my obedience to the Spirit. If not, I do what the Bible calls quench the Spirit. And you don't want to do that. Because we can quench the Spirit to the point that the Spirit will not bother us anymore. And I certainly don't want that. Amen. At any given time, whether I'm preaching or anyone else is preaching, I want to be able to feel conviction. I want to be able to feel God speaking to me and saying, hey, there's an area right there. Listen to Him closely as He's preaching. There's an area right there we need to work on together. And I want to be able to say, Lord, let's do this. Let's do this. Instead of the Lord saying it and me not even hearing Him. Instead of the Lord moving on me and me not even feeling Him. Because I've done it so long, I've gotten so accustomed to it until God can't speak to me anymore. I can't hear His voice about it. The mark of the best. The mark of the best. Let's stand together. Amen. Legalism minimizes our obligation to God. But just because we want to be a holy people doesn't mean we believe in legalism. Legalism says, I'm going to be holy whether I sin or not. I'm going to dress holy whether I sin or not. I'm going to dress holy, look holy. I'll never cut my hair whether I cuss or not. Amen. That's legalism. You're trying to fit into a group. We're not trying to fit into a group. We want Jesus to clean and purify the inside and then work His way to the outside. And we want to take on the total character of Jesus Christ. And we want to fulfill His will and walk, ladies and gentlemen, in His Word. There is a famine in the land from God's Word. There's too much philosophy. There's too much idea-isms. All of that. We need to go back to the Word. And we need to be fulfilled with the Word. And we need to let the Word lead us, guide us, and direct us. And in that way, we will affect our world greater than any other way we can imagine. Just a hunger and a thirst for the Word and an obedience to the Spirit. And we have an altar to help us along the way. Great gifts from God that will enable us to be obedient to God. How many of you hunger for the Lord? I love this bunch. I love this bunch. Amen. Why don't we just turn the whole sanctuary into an altar and close our eyes. Just lift our hands in submission and surrender to the Lord. And just simply say things like, Lord, I may not get it all. I may not comprehend it all. I may not understand it all. But I, you know what, Lord? I want it all. I need it all. Lord, the children need it. Moms and dads need it. Our young people need it. All of us need it. The preacher needs it. Holy Ghost, the singer needs it. The musician needs it. The Sunday school needs it. Give it to us, Lord. Pour it out, Holy Ghost. Drench us with your presence. Let the fire fall and let us burn with holiness and righteousness. And let the glory shine forth. Let's praise Him right now for meeting needs and answering prayer and making us better people, greater people than we've ever been, greater than we have ever been. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Holy, 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 holy. Mighty God. Mighty God.
Lord, my life is in your hands.
Hallelujah. I give myself
to see.
I give myself. That's what it's about, God. Me giving myself.
Because I give myself away.
Jesus. Jesus.
I give myself away.
You know, I feel His holiness in this house right now. I wish I could express how I feel the Lord looks right now. I see His look. I see His countenance. Every day, Brother Cookie sees people that he blesses and they're like, yes. And the Lord's like, people that are healed. Do you know people by the thousands are receiving the Holy Ghost right now? People are by the hundreds are being raised from the dead right now. You need to keep your ears open. You're not going to hear it from CNN or ABC or any of that. Amen. Keep your ears open. Amen. It'll get to you. Amen. They're not going to be able to stop it or slow it down. Amen. It's like a tsunami that's sweeping the world right now. And people are so excited and so thrilled. But He's got a different look on His face when somebody says, you know, I'm just going to give it all to God. I've done my best with it, Lord. And you just take everything that I've done and just make something good come out of it. I want whatever you've got for me. I need whatever you've got for me. And then all of a sudden He perks up and looks at you differently. And He's like, you know, I remember healing some lepers. They were dying. You know what leprosy is? A disease that'll make your nose fall off. It'll make your ears fall off. It'll make your lips fall off. Your teeth are exposed and your face has got holes in it. And it's your appendages, your fingers begin to fall off and rot. That's leprosy. And the Lord healed 10 of them. They jumped up so excited they didn't know what to do and took off and never came back. But one of them did. Only one out of 10. And the Lord gave him that look that he's giving somebody tonight. Because you're saying, Lord, I want something deeper than just a blessing. I want something deeper than just a healing. I want something deeper than a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or I want something deeper, Lord, than finances. I want, Lord, the preacher tapped into something that's very special to you tonight, and he talked about holiness. And the moment you said, I want that, he gave you a different look. Because there is nothing as holy as our God. And if you desire that, he will come up to you and begin to share that with you. Because that's personal. That's who he is. Honey, he's more than a blessing. He's more than a healing. He's more than finances. He's more than relationships. He's holy. One more time, Brother Cody, so we can give ourselves away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name, right here, right now. Right here.
Give myself away.
So I can walk away from the world and walk with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Mighty God, mighty God.
Life is not my own. To you I belong.
Oh yeah.
I give myself.
I give myself.
I give myself.
I give myself to you.
Cause my life is not my own.
Holy Ghost.
To you I belong.
Spirit of God.
I give myself.
I give myself.
I give myself away.
Yes. Yes.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
There's no doubt in my mind, and I'm closing. But there's no doubt in my mind tonight that he's not trying to take someone to another dimension and to another level. Amen. Let him do it. Just let him do it and watch what comes out of it. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.